on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, The Science of Sport, with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Oh, my God. Finally.
So much better.
Finally. Jeez. 2 years, 3 years of AC/DC. Even me, the lover of AC/DC, was a little worn out with that one track.
What a calm and relaxed way to start.
Who is it James Brown?
James Brown.
James Brown. Thank God for James Brown. We'll probably flog that for the next 5 years. But no, we might have a new one each season, I think. So that'll be 2016-17 summer edition, and we'll come up with one each year, I think. But that'll do
us. You just made an executive decision there.
Well, you and I can, at the next meeting. Do we have meetings? We don't know. Our producer's shaking her head. We definitely don't have meetings. Well, we'll have a discussion.
Well, if they have them, you and I haven't been invited.
Next time, you and I are having donuts and coffee. Good morning, everyone. Excuse moi. That's a frog in my throat. This is The Science Sport. Jackie Lauder is the other person that you hear, the sexy dulcet tones of Jackie Lauder. Professor Mark Fabreo, who is also somewhat sexy, is not with us. He's crook.
Still.
And, still crook. He'll be back next week. But this is a show where we talk about health and wellness and fitness and training and you specifically. It's not so much about sport, but of course we're a sports station, but we still talk about more personally training for your sport, whatever that is. And if you want to ask us questions about how the big boys and girls in the world of elite sport train and the way they do things, we can cover that off as well. How's your week been, you?
My week has been very good. Busy as usual, which is always good. So
super busy. Now, you're in a running mode. You've been in a running mode through winter. We're heading into summer. Firstly, how's that going?
It's going well. So I'm over 7.5Ks now.
Good.
So I'm working my way up to 10. That's about my distance. 5, I can kind of go, it's all right. 5 to 10 is a little harder slog, but I'm enjoying how I feel, which is good. And I'm lucky I've got my sister there who not motivates me because I get out and do it myself, but it is nice to have someone else there who can help sort of keep pace and to run with. And it's completely changed because I was never like that. I would never run with anybody. Mm. And I would always probably run more on the treadmill. Mm. But that's something I wanted to talk to you about today is I prefer exercising outdoors. Mm. I don't like being indoor. And it's funny how when you run on a treadmill, it seems so much longer to do 5K, for an example, than if you were running 5K outside. I don't know why. Maybe it's the scenery and the change. But everyone I speak to says the same thing. It just feels harder. So,
of course you know why. You're a psychologist. Well,
yeah, but
you know why. But, yeah, I mean, it's right. It's funny because obviously time's an absolute. It's an absolute in that it's measurable and quantifiable. But at the same time, time as an experience is very subjective. And we're getting weird here, but like we've spoken before about when you get in that state of flow where it feels like time stands still for you, but then you look at the clock and you go, 30 minutes just went. It literally feels like 2 minutes. And that's, I think a lot of people, that's part of the, like when you say, hey, go to the Oval and run 10 laps, you're like, I'd rather punch myself in the face. But, hey, go and run along the foreshore and, you know, have a look at the water and see the sights and smell the smells and, you know, have a bit of sea breeze on your face and take the puppy with you maybe and put some tunes in your ears. And
people
boom.
Are friendly. Like I run quite early, which is like yesterday, I think, because for a lot of people it's a long weekend. So I ran around the town about 6 o'clock yesterday morning.
Yeah.
If I saw 5 people, I would have been lucky. And you kind of feel like you've got this little treat that you've got the whole town and the city to yourself before everybody wakes up. It's a great time of the day. I've always been a morning person. But I guess one of the things I wanted to ask listeners and also yourself is some great outdoor exercise places that you can, I guess, get yourself fit, but also for free. If you don't have a big budget and you can't, you know, or you don't like going to the gym, there's some great places around Melbourne that you can exercise for free.
There are some iconic places around Melbourne too. I will name one, a place that I have been many times, hundreds of times training myself and hundreds of times training athletes. And I don't know if hundreds, but probably 50, 60, 70 times I've seen Olympic athletes training in this place. And we're not talking about the tan. But that is, and if you've been here, send us a message. You'll give us a buzz. Or if you've got your own place, Royal Avenue Stairs in Sandringham. Or is it Black Rock? It's off Beach Road. It's Sandy Black Rock area. And there's just a set of stairs that goes from Beach Road level down to the sand. And I think someone will correct me, but it's about 112 stairs and it's just straight up. And there's about, I think there's eight kind of graduations, but each one's broken. So there's kind of almost 16 levels. And for the first, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, you're like, I'm smashing this. Then number 12, you go, ooh. And number 14, 15, 16.
It's under hurt.
Oh, it just, it can, it. It's horrible. So,
steps are a great exercise, though, aren't they? Like the 1,000 steps is obviously very popular.
People underestimate the value of running hills and running stairs, because what's good about hills and stairs?
Oh, don't talk to me about hills. I hate Anderson's.
What's great about hills and stairs, Jackie, and I want you to do some, is that when you
I just don't like them.
When you're running up, your energy expenditure is through the roof. You are working much harder. So you're getting more benefit as long as you're doing it intelligently. But another benefit people don't think about is the impact is way less.
Mm.
Running uphill, the impact is significantly lower than running on even ground and way less than running downhill.
Yeah.
So if you want to look after your ligaments, tendons, back, joints, run up hills, walk down them, or run upstairs, walk down them briskly. Royal Avenue stairs. So if you look up Royal Avenue, I think it's Sandringham.
Yep.
And basically where that meets Beach Road, at that point, if you enter the bushes there and walk about 20 metres in, you'll find the stairs that I'm talking about. They are a killer diller, as Kevin Bartlett says. Killer diller.
Well, apparently too, there's around Melbourne quite a few rock climbing walls that are for free. So
really?
Yeah, which I didn't know about.
It seemed to be a litigious can of worms waiting to happen. How do they?
Someone told me about those. So there used to be, I don't know whether it still exists, the Burnley Bouldering Wall, but someone said along through under the Monash and that there's various places where there's some little rock climbing walls. So if people know about those, certainly let us know, but I didn't know about them. Albert Park Lake, I think, is a really good outdoor place to exercise. But the other ones that we see around a lot of local parks is, you know how they have the little exercise areas set up? Now, I've never used them, but you've been training people for a long time. Do you use them?
Yeah, I use them whenever they're around. So what I like about all of that stuff is, and we're going to talk more about body weight. A few people have asked me recently, how do I get strong if I don't have equipment or I don't have much equipment? So we'll talk about that through the show, and we'll talk about the way that you can progressively overload your body, which is necessary for adaptation, without weight. So in other words, how do I get stronger if I'm lifting the same weight up and down, namely my own body weight? And there's an answer to that, and I'll tell you the answer. But so we're looking for great outdoor areas to train, whether or not it's Robinson Crusoe style or whether or not it's as part of a gang, 9429 1116 or 0433 98 11 16, if you want to get on the phone and talk to us. So, I mean, we're lucky in that, especially Bayside. Well, I live Bayside, so I'm lucky. So there's just a million. There's a million tracks. There's a million.
I think there is everywhere, though, probably. Like, I'm over the east, so there's some great parks and places to go over that way as well. So I'm assuming probably everywhere you go, councils these days try and make it so that, because they have a lot of their own programs that run through various councils, whether it be walking groups or even, I'm sure you'll probably notice in some of the bigger shopping centres, I've noticed that there's walking groups within shopping centres for a lot of older people.
Yeah.
Where it's safe, they're inside, that, you know, they're not doing anything over the top, but it's probably a social thing for them. What a great idea.
And walking past all those donut stores, just training yourself to be disciplined.
Very helpful.
But it is, because you're right, it's out of the weather and it's air conditioned. So when it's super hot, people have got protection from the elements. If you want to get involved, we're looking for maybe unique or novel or free outdoor training environments or situations. Let's go to Nick in Hyatt. G'day, Nick. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I just thought of a couple of great spaces where I've been running. I'm actually coming back from a small bit of arthroscopic surgery at the moment, but where I was running before was Listerfield Lake. Out in Narre Warren. There's a trail running group out there. There's another one in the Dandenong Ranges.
How long is Listerfield Lake?
It's as long as you want it to be.
But in terms of to go around, do you know what the distance is?
I think it's probably around 5.
Okay, so that's
K,
quite nice.
Something like that.
I normally swim it. I normally swim it, but you guys feel free to run it. Yep.
Yeah, well, we've got, I mean, it's a second year birthday out there today, actually, for the Listerfield Trail Runners. And they're doing a big lap of what they've mapped out is a trail of a goat, because that's the motto or the logo of the group.
Okay.
It's about 28 Ks. And everyone meets out there every Sunday. About, you know, you start at 6, 7, 8, 9, whenever you want to join in. And just run and you just meet up. And yeah, it's probably about, I think, about 1,000 members there now. But normally you've got about 30 to.
It's the accountability of a group, and too, isn't it?
I was just reading something. Is that free?
It's totally free. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. If you looked up Listerfield Trail Runners on Facebook or Dandenong Trail Runners, Peninsula Trail Runners, PTR, DTR, LTR.
And any other acronym, TR.
We've also got your weekly park runs at different places, and they're free too, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
It's a really good group. I mean, there's trail runs, you know, becoming really popular. It's outdoors. I mean, everyone's really supportive. That's the main thing. People just loop back and collect the slower people till they get up to speed and away you go. So.
Yeah. Perfect, Nick. We love it. And also, thank you so much for your call. Good luck with that recovery from your knee. And great for people, Jack, who kind of have financial limitations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I can't afford to join a gym. Yeah, you don't need to. Let's go to John in St. Helena. G'day, John.
Hi, guys. How are you? Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, look, when you started talking about hill running, because I train out of Greensboro, there's a lot of hills. I did 8 marathons, nothing flash, just 340 plus. And with my training runs, whether I was doing a 5, 10, 20, 30K, I always had this route that I finished on, which was about 5Ks of uphill running.
Yeah.
I always made sure that my float was above what I would normally run at. And when I found that I was running the Frankston to Melbourne and those little inclines, I couldn't believe how people were virtually stopping where I would just power up the hills. It was just the benefits from it. And I've got bad knees now. I can't run anymore. But the same, I used to have to, towards the end, I had to walk backwards down hills, but power up hills.
Can I just ask a question, though, John? Did you start, when you first started, what were you like with the hills?
Not flash.
Okay.
But then once I moved out to Greensboro away and I knew there was hills and I did read, I think, one of Montaghetti's books or something, and they said the hill climbs are just so beneficial for your running. And I just couldn't believe, and it is a mental thing that I used to love getting to a hill and just love overtaking as many people as I could.
100%. Hey, now, John, I'm going to tell you and Jackie and the listeners a story I've never shared publicly about, I don't know how many years ago, but a dozen years ago or so when I was in the midst of my personal training career and I had clients everywhere. I was training a bunch of clients for the Arthur's Seat Run. Do you remember that run?
The one I was thinking of was the Puffing Billy. Now it's all uphill, and I loved it.
Well, you're a maniac. But anyway, so I'm not a maniac. Well, a bit of a maniac, but I trained all these people, and it was from Rosebud to the top of Arthur's Seat. So the first few Ks were fine. Then Jackie and John, there were about 4Ks of just total misery. It was ridiculous. Like, it was even hard to walk. It was so steep.
Oh, goodness.
And I thought, in about the last 3 weeks, my clients kept saying, run it with us, run it with us. Like, I'm a coach, you're an athlete, you're running, shut up. And then about a week before, I went, oh, you know what, I'll do it. Now, at this stage, I was bodybuilding, Jack. I was 100.
And you're not a natural runner either.
No. So 105 kilos I was, right?
Oh, dear me. So, this is looking ugly.
And it was hot. Now, it took me... all of my clients beat me. All of my clients beat me. I was. It took me about an hour and 5 or 10 minutes. So it was maybe 7Ks. I nearly died of heat exhaustion, and I was so disgraced, and I was so upset with myself that I went, that's it. I'm not going to do that. And I lost 25Ks in the next 12 months, and I did it the following year at 85Ks, or 82 or 83Ks to redeem myself. But one of the hardest things I've ever done. But if you can run up hills, not only, as John said, not only just the physiological, but mentally, if you can do that.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I got to the stage, it was hard at first, but I got to the stage where I made it a mind game, and I actually got to the stage where I loved running up hills. And that was the psychological side. I mean, we know it's 90% above the shoulders, but psychologically, I just loved hills because I knew I could just smash people going past them. And they would all get to the bottom of the hill and go, oh, here we go again, where I would just laugh and just think, here we go.
Well, you're a weirdo, but we love that about you. Thanks for your call, John. Let's go to Tony in Frankston. G'day, Tony. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, g'day, guys. No, it's a pleasure. I like listening to this on a Sunday. It's a pity it's been away for a while. But I had a shoulder reco in. I run on the pro circuit and snapped a couple of tendons off the shoulder at the Wangaratta Gift in January, bicep and the supraspinatus. Oh. Now, I'm out of shoulder reco in February, but with a lot of my training, and I've done that after seat run, and it's not a fun, it shouldn't be called a fun run.
Should be called a pain run, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, but I often do my training running up Oliver's Hill, and it's a great view at the top, but if you do 1 minute striding up there, you're probably only covering 200 metres, but you're absolutely exhausted after one.
Oh, I know. That's a world of hurt as well. How's your shoulder now?
Yeah, it's coming along slowly. It's just a long process. You know, as you'd be aware, is that Craig, is it?
Yep.
Yeah, Craig, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's just such a long process, anywhere between 9 and 12 months. So I hope to be back running on the pro circuit. Hopefully, maybe about late January, early February. I'll give about 12 months post-op and see how I go.
Are you a sprinter, middle distance or long? What are you competing?
Anything between 70 and 300 I usually run.
Right.
So
wow.
I should be just taking off out of the starting block. So I had a sore shoulder. And
that's the thing with your sport's totally explosive. And especially when you're trying to generate power through the arms and shoulders, then you need to make sure that's really, really well recovered. Look after yourself and look after that injury, Tony. Thanks for your call. We're talking health, wellness, fitness, training. Jack, what are we going to talk about after the break? What's on your little list over there? You're like the mother hen of the show. You've got your list.
Well, I like to be organised. So we're going to talk a little bit about optimising exercise intensity.
Let's talk about that on the other side of this.
On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, the science of sport, with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Oh, indeed, it is the science of sport. It is 27 minutes past 10 o'clock. Jackie Lada and I are steering the ship until 11 o'clock. If you want to talk to us, we'll get on the phone, for God's sake. 94291116, pick that thing up. Press the numbers, put your face against it and start talking.
We're getting a few SMSs coming in. So I grew up in Ballarat. Mona and his running boys used to run in the bush behind my house. Good hills. It was all I knew is to run hills. Couldn't go for a run without running them. Well, I'm absolutely happy to try it without the hills. But anyway.
Well, Jack's she's got an anti-hill campaign going.
I understand the benefits. I understand the psychological challenge.
I'm totally with you. I understand the theory, but the reality is not something I want to step into.
And I'm trained to mentally get myself through it. Mm. But, you know, we don't always practice what
you
we
just
preach.
Do a cost-benefit analysis. Yeah, you go, nah, exactly. not worth it.
I do trail runs, walks around Yarra Boulevard, Fairfield Park Boathouse. Oh, it's nice around there. Feels like you're out in the bush, or sprint training sessions at Collingwood Clifton Hill Athletics Track. Then I mix it up with deadlifting my storage trunks I have at home. That's a good idea.
It is indeed. Another one, just quickly, this is a really relevant question. Lots of boys ask me this. Craig, I love the show. How much cardio should someone do who is fit but trying to gain muscle? So it's trying to get the balance, Jack, between lifting stuff and doing cardio, because when you do a lot of cardio, you're not going to gain a whole lot of size.
Yeah.
So it's really about the kind of cardio that you do and how often. So if you want to stay relatively fit from a cardiovascular point of view, which is, of course, a good thing to do, do shorter stuff, do interval-based stuff, and probably do – now, this is just specific to this question, which is building and keeping muscle. Don't do too much running from that point of view. So do more bit of swimming, interval stuff on the bike, cross-trainer, elliptical strider, stairmaster, revolving staircase, all those things good. No more than – again, this is just – words, but probably 15-20 minutes interval stuff, you know, once a day. Won't turn you into an endurance athlete, but it'll help you, it'll put you in a state where you can still grow muscle while staying pretty fit aerobically.
Now, one of the topics I wanted to talk about this morning is optimizing exercise intensity.
Mm.
So what we're talking about is if you want to get your heart rate up, you should only be doing a certain amount of exercise at the highest intensity level. But how do people figure that out? How do they know? How do they optimize that? This is far more your area than mine.
Yeah. Okay. So remember that when we talk about intensity, it's individual and it's relative to the person. So my intense might be your easy. Mm-hmm. Like if we go to yoga, there's a fair bit you're going to kill me because I reckon your flexibility is way better than mine, right? Yep. Even though yours might not be awesome, mine's atrocious.
Yeah.
So me doing just a straightforward sit and reach towards my toes, me touching my knees could be very intense, but for you there's no intensity because, right? So firstly we need to realise that. So when someone says, all right, we're all going to run 5Ks in 20 minutes, so we're all going to work that hard. Well, that's silly because 5Ks, 20 minutes for some people is easy. For somebody else, it's impossible. So the first thing to do is to, if you want to work, we're talking aerobic intensity here, get yourself a heart rate monitor so you know where you're at. Mm-hmm. If you're out doing something and you're working aerobically and your heart rate's 110, 120, unless you're 80 years old, then you're probably not working too intensely. So that's a way to gauge it. And then if we're talking about intensity relative to, say, strength training, again, I always talk about, you know, the first set or two that you do of an exercise is a warm-up set, getting your body ready to work set, and then the last two or three sets, we'll just use bench press because people get it, not that I'm a massive advocate, but so you get on the bench press, you do one or two warm-up sets, then you do a third set where you may be starting to work a bit, but the last set or two are very intense, and they're the sets that will actually do something. Now, remember that relative intensity changes over time. So what you once found intense
is now easy because you're well trained.
That's right. So So intensity varies over time for the same individual. But we'll keep that chat going after we go to Tony in Sky. G'day, Tony.
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, listen, I'm struggling a bit with what's called intersection syndrome. You heard of that?
I've heard of it, but neither of us are doctors, but go on.
Yeah, it's an inflammation of the tendons in the forearm and wrist there.
Yep.
Just through overuse. And I've been told, you know, I need to rest of anti-inflams and ice and all that. And I've been told that I can go back to the gym, but I need to avoid, you know, anything that engages that wrist.
Yeah.
Push-ups, bench press, the like.
Look, what you like when you grip things again. Remember, Tony, this is just a conversation, not a prescription. But when you grip things, does that hurt?
Yeah, when it's inflamed, the whole thing hurts. It does. It really hurts. It hurts to write. It hurts to use the steering wheel. It hurts to do everything. Mm. So, and then I was told, yeah, you can get back. You can do chin ups and you can do rowing and all that. But I'm thinking, geez, that's a really prominent gripping movement. So I just thought,
Contrary to what you said at the start, all I can say is from experience, a friend of mine's got a very similar, if not the same, condition through their forearm and wrist, an inflammatory thing. They find pulling movements and gripping movements, so like lat pull downs, chin ups, seated row, barbell curls, anything where they've got to grip something tightly and pull it, they find that agony. They don't find pushing movements where essentially one of the things I would try if I was you is I would try machine-based stuff where you don't have to grip things so hard, like in an upright bench press, or they call it a chest press, where you literally can just put the butt of your hand or the palm of your hand against the frame and just, so you're not actually holding with your fingers, you're not gripping it per se.
Yep.
But with all of these things, even a doctor will tell you it's a little bit trial and error. It's just going, look, how do you, well, you might go, well, when I do this, it doesn't hurt. And more than likely, most doctors will go, all right, do that. You know, so, but obviously the stuff that you can train your core, you can train your lower body, you can do cardio stuff. But, you know, it'll just be a little bit of trial and error. If a doctor sent you to me as an exercise scientist, literally what we would do is we would do some assessment in the gym where we would try different movements and see how you go, see what doesn't exacerbate the issue, and see what you can do that allows you to still keep some upper body strength and function without making the condition worse.
I would think too, if a case is pretty severe, an OT or a hand therapist would probably be able to give you something a bit more specific as well.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call, Tony. It is 26 minutes to 11 o'clock. So we're talking about intensity. So we'll wrap it up there, but just say that, remember that for you, the listener, or for me or for Jackie, it's individual to you. But also remember that doing the same thing the same way at the same intensity day in, day out, month in, month out, there'll come a point in your training where you don't see any progress because your body doesn't need to adapt anymore because you've gotten to that point where you're very capable, it's very capable of doing what needs to be done without any further need for change or adaptation. So if one of your goals is to keep improving, that is getting stronger or getting, you know, improving flexibility or speed or aerobic endurance, then there needs to be a reason for that to happen, which means there needs to be a linear kind of progression in intensity and intelligent progression, of course, over time. If you're not sure how to do that, involve someone in the process.
I think the other thing that we were going to have a little bit of a chat about too was some incidental exercise, so little things you can do. So we're talking about free exercise sort of outside, but also a lot of things that you can just do in your day-to-day life that can make a difference. So things like, you know, when you're going to a shopping centre, not trying to find the closest car park.
Yeah.
Take the easy car park a little bit further away and walk, you know, instead of taking the escalators, take the stairs. So there's a lot of things I think in day-to-day that people don't realise. You know, if you're at work, if you can, you know, put your phone on speaker and even just stand and walk while you're having a conversation 100%. On the phone and all that sort of stuff, going into someone's office rather than sending an email for someone who's two steps away. Type thing. But I think there is a lot of things day to day that people don't realise can make a big difference and lots of changes.
And one of the things that's impacting on us for worse in our culture in 2016 is the fact that we are now the sit down generation. Like we sit more now than any other generation before us. We have our bums plastered to chairs. You know, we get up, we sit and eat breakfast. We go sit in our car, we drive to work.
And we're in front of screens.
We sit in front of screens all day. We go and have lunch. We sit down and eat lunch. Then we sit down and drive home or sit on the train. And then, you know, the bottom line is that our bodies weren't built to be in constant hip flexion, and that's the position you're in when you're sitting. It's bad for your lower back. It tightens your hip flexors. That's the muscles that cross the front of your hips. It weakens your lower back, it just makes you less fit and less functional. So at the very least, if you have a job or you're in a situation that means you need to be sitting a lot, at the very least, get up every hour at the very least and move around for 3 or 4 minutes. Even better, if you have a job, like I know, even in here at SEN, Finey and quite a few of the other hosts have a headset. So headphones and mic in one so that it can actually do the show standing. Because somebody like Finey, who does 7 to midnight most weeknights, he's sitting literally, and it's not a good... You look where I am now. I've got to lean forward. I'm hunching over this stupid microphone.
I sit a lot of the day.
It's just not a great thing. And obviously, and this is something we've spoken about before also, a stand-up or an adjustable workstation. They're becoming more and more prevalent. I did a gig for a company called... what are they? It'll come to me. But anyway, very recently, and I was really, really glad to see when I went into their head office that everybody had an adjustable workstation. So people could sit and work, or they could literally push a button and comes up. Everything comes up, their keyboard, their hard drive, whatever, their computer screen, everything comes up, all their, you know, bits and pieces. So the whole thing elevates. They can push back their chair and within 10 seconds move from a seated workstation to a standing one. So if you've got your own business, these things are online. There's mechanical ones that you wind up, and there's fancy ones like the ones I just spoke about. But, you know, certainly it's something that's worth thinking about. And certainly if you're predisposed to or you have a history of lower back pain, something by as simple as changing your posture. And also we know that changing your posture changes your mindset too. We're going to go to a break. The Science Sport, if you want to ask us a question, now's a good time to call 9429 1116. We'll be back on the other side of this.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to The Science Sport on Melbourne's home of sport, 20 minutes to 11 o'clock. Jackie Lauder, myself, Craig Anthony Harper in here every Sunday between 10 and 11 for the next bunch of months. Just gripping stuff. Hey, well, we do our very best. Mikey out there pushing the buttons and Jackie The other Jackie out there with her headphones looking very studious, staring at that screen. I'm not sure what she's doing. Anything around health, fitness, wellness, give us a buzz, 9429 1116, or if you want to send us a message, 0433981116. I've got a question for you, the listener, and for you, the co-host. Now, for people who don't exercise much, and also for people who do exercise regularly, we've always got a thing that we hate to do in the exercise space that we know that we should do. Now, quite often for bodybuilders, for example, not all, but some, it's like training their legs, right? They'll train their body disproportionately, you know, 80, 90% of their energy will go into their upper body, which clearly is only half of it, and maybe 10 or 20% of their time and energy will be spent on training their lower body. So I'll open up with me while you're considering yours.
Oh, I know mine.
The thing, all right, well, let's start with you. The thing, okay, so what's the, folks, this is the question. The exercise thing that you should do. Now, maybe you're a walker, maybe you're a weight trainer, maybe you do cardio funk or Zumba or something, but there's an element of looking after your body from an exercise slash movement slash training point of view that you avoid a fair bit. What is it? Jackie Lauder, and go.
Weights. Very easy. I just find them boring.
Not meant to be entertainment.
Yeah. Well, you asked me a question and I like to give you a direct answer and it's pretty easy to work with.
Come on, though.
I do them, but,
you don't do them
not much. Not as much as, nowhere near as much as I should.
Be completely honest and transparent.
Oh, totally.
Real.
I will be.
How many times a month would you go and do a proper strength training session?
Oh.
Really, Jackie? Don't lie or exaggerate.
Maybe two.
Two. So I reckon that could be an exaggeration. So maybe.
No, that's not an exaggeration. Mm. And I'll tell you what, I really have to work myself up for those two.
What do you hate about it?
Boring. It's slow. And now, do you know what, though? I find that this correlates with sports that I really love watching and I get engaged with. I have to have speed and
but
movement.
But you're a strong girl. And
yeah,
I mean that respectfully.
Yeah,
like your
true.
Shoulder is as wide as my shoulders.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You're a big frame.
That's like why running is hard for me because I'm more of a swimmer.
I'm like, I would have thought you'd kill it in the gym.
Yeah, I know. It's not that it's hard from a practical perspective. I don't like it. I find it boring. I just, doesn't float my boat.
What if you had a super hot trainer who was, you know, 26 and just took you through all your workouts?
I'd say let's have a coffee instead of doing weights.
Yeah, would let's have a coffee and I'll just stare at you.
Yeah.
9429 1116. What's the one component of your workout or your training or your exercise regime, even if you train regularly, even if you're disciplined, even if you're kind of in the zone, but you know that there's one thing that you
what's
just...
What's yours?
Bloody, well, mine, without doubt, is stretching. Stretching.
Yeah.
And I'll expand on that later, but I've got the flexibility of a ceramic tile. Like it's just, it just hurts for me. Whereas even running, you said, you know, I'm not a natural runner, but I can actually run all right, but I've gone through phases though. Right. But with stretching, and I hate to say this, at 53 years of age, I've been training solidly since I was 14. That's 39 years. I've never consistently stretched properly. Like I do bits and pieces, but let's go to Scott in Cranbourne. We're talking we're talking about the thing you should do that you don't do that you feel a little bit guilty about. G'day, Scott.
Good morning. How are we?
Good.
We're good, man. What's going on?
Yeah, look, I train probably 5 to 6 days a week.
Yep.
My background, I used to be about 112, 113 kg.
Yep.
I'm now down to 86.
Wow.
But I actually avoid, or I'm very poor at doing cardio and stretching. I just concentrate on the weights.
Well, you must have a very good diet, man, if you've lost all that weight.
Yeah, my eating's improved a hell of a lot. I'd probably drink about 2 litres of water a day. But I've gone from, I used to eat a lot of junk food, and because I'm out in the road working, I'd eat a lot of fast food.
Mm.
I've cut that out, so I take my own food from that point of view. But from a workout point of view, I very, very rarely stretch, and I rarely do cardio.
Now, is that because you don't enjoy the cardio, or you just can't be stuffed?
Oh, I can't be stuffed.
I love this question. This is such a good question.
I love the honesty.
Everyone has their little skeleton.
Scott, thanks for sharing. Well done on the weight loss. Keep doing what works. Do a little bit of cardio. It's good for your heart, though, at some stage. Let's go to Simon in Ascot Vale. G'day, Scott.
Oh, hello.
Good morning.
Morning, Simon. Champ. What's the thing that you avoid?
Oh, hello, it's Simon.
Sorry, Simon. G'day, Simon.
Sorry. Yeah, look, very similar to you. I'm turning 50 actually this weekend. But
happy birthday, buddy.
I do a lot of running. I ran about 87 minutes for the half in Melbourne.
Wow, that's flying.
So I'm fairly fit, but trying to make yourself stretch. I remember training at a pretty good level when I was young, and now I understand why the coaches used to make us stand around for 20 minutes and do stretching drills. Mm. I think it's partly because people are so time poor. Mm. So you're struggling to get any exercise in. The one thing you don't do is stretch. And I know so many friends, mates of mine in my age group who every second month they say, I've pulled my calf.
Yeah.
And no one will stretch. And I'm hopeless. Yeah. Unlike you, I'm hopeless.
Yeah, you and me, champ, the bloody world's biggest club, 40, 50-year-old men who don't want to stretch, even though we know we should. Yeah. 87 minutes for a half, John, is very quick.
Yeah, that's good. I ran 2:28 when I was younger, so I was a reasonable runner when I was younger. So you sort of don't lose that, but it's the maintenance stuff that's hard to fit in. It's when you like a particular sport. I know you guys will say there's a sport that you're particularly good at or like.
Yeah.
It's easy to get out and do it, but it's doing the maintenance part of it that takes a lot of your time, especially if you work and you've got kids.
That's right.
It's really critically important, but...
That's right.
Try to tell that to someone in their 40s.
Thanks for your call, man, and happy 50th birthday. It's not going to be a lot of running happening if you've got torn calves all the time, Jack.
Do you know if we were asking people in general as a person what their weaknesses are, people would not be as open, but everyone's owning this, aren't they? Like, hate this.
Yeah, same. I mean, yeah. Let's go to Andrea in Ringwood. Hello, Andrea. Hi. Let's go to John in St. Helena or Helena.
St. Helena.
Yeah, me again. Yeah, look, I was just really interested in what you said then. I mean, when I was talking about running hills,
yeah.
I mean, I initially didn't like it, but I conditioned my mind and I knew I was tricking myself that running up hills isn't right. But when you were saying that you didn't like doing cardio or whatever,
yeah.
But it is a game with your own mind to say that I do like this. Now, It's conditioning of what you've got to do to get where you want to get to.
Yeah, the one person you can't lie to, though, is yourself. And you can say, saying I do like this is just not true. And from a psychological perspective, that is not going to work. You have to find another form of dialogue to say, okay, this is going to benefit me or whatever. But to tell yourself you like something that you know you don't, that does not work psychologically.
Hang on. But, John, are you saying that over time you actually come to like it?
Yes, because I knew what I was doing. I was smashing people up hills. And, I mean, as I said, physiologically, you can't want to run up hills, but I knew that I could, and therefore I honestly tricked myself into liking running up hills. And again, once you see yourself achieving something that no one else can, then the adrenaline kicks in. I would be struggling on a flat and then get to a hill and click in and know that this is my time. And as I said, I was a hack runner. I was doing marathons in 4 hours, 3:40, but I just used to wait for a hill so I could smash the people around me. Yeah,
thanks for your call, John.
Psychologically, what you're doing there is you're not saying, I love this. What you're saying is, I understand the benefits of this and I'm enjoying seeing my improvement. There's a really big difference in the dialogue.
I will say, though, there have been things that I hated that I came to quite like when I got better at it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But I came to enjoy it when my skill or my... I adapted to that, but I know what you're saying. Who's next, Jack?
Andrea from Ringwood.
Morning, hi, Andrea.
Hello.
Oh, thank goodness we've got a lady on the phone.
Well, I'm probably opposite to most women, but I despise cardio.
That's hilarious.
Despise.
Despise it.
What do you hate? Has it been bad experience or you just don't like the feel?
No. I just look at everyone there in the gym on the treadmills and the ellipticals and they look bored out of their brains. And I feel like that when I get on them. So
that's hilarious. So what do you do, Andrew? What do you do?
Weights. She prefers the weights.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hate ab work.
Andrea's on a roll.
But do you know the beauty of it is, Andrea, if you're doing functional training with your weight stuff anyway, you're training your abs. You're training your abs anyway. So what do you do to look after your heart, though, your heart and lungs?
Look, I do a little bit of walking. And in summer, when it's nice weather, I get in the pool. So I do enjoy swimming in summer. But the indoor cardio, no, forget it.
We love your call. We love your attitude. We love your realness. Thanks for your call, Andrea, or I think it might be your authenticity. Let's go to line seven. Is it Ruli in South Morang? Is that Ruli? Hey, man.
Good morning. Good morning, guys and lady. How are we doing?
Good, thank
great.
You.
That's the way. Yeah, I despise doing squats. just a little bit of background.
Yes.
I've had a back injury for a long time, and I've also got hamstrings that you could play the national anthem on. They're just so tight. You know? And when I find I do my squats, I end up straining hamstrings, and I do it regularly.
Yeah.
So I try and avoid doing them, even though I stretch beforehand.
Mm.
And when I run, I have no issue with it, but it's just when I do squats.
Is that a technique thing?
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Could be a biomechanics thing. Could be a Ruli's body. Hey, Ruli, next time your back's in an okay condition to try squats, avoid squats and try... try static lunges. You know where you take a big step forward, so your legs are, or your feet are about a metre apart, one back, one forward.
Yep.
Hold some dumbbells in your hand. Just start with light dumbbells, like 5-10 kilo dumbbells. So keep your feet split and keep them firmly on the ground. So your front foot will be planted and your back foot will be just the ball of your foot. And take your back knee to the ground. So you're just doing a static lunge up and down. Which is way less stress on your lower back, but still working your quads. Yeah, I was going to say your ass, your quads, your glutes, and your, I felt like I was at the gym. Works your lower body really well, so give that a go. Thanks for your call, man. We're going to go to a break, Jackie Lauder.
And then we've got some text messages coming
lots
through.
Lots of text messages. Still a time for a chat if you want to give us a buzz, 9429 1116.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, the science of sport, with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada, and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to Melbourne's home of sport. Jackie Lada, Craig Harper, every Sunday between 10 and 11. That's right. Hey, lots of people resonating with Andrea who rang us and went, hey, cardio is crap. How funny is that? People are like, I just like lifting stuff. I just like lifting heavy things and that's it. apparently, quite a few people aren't big fans of cardio, but then a lot of cardio people are not big fans of lifting heavy stuff. Let's go to John in Essendon. G'day, John. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. I've got a rather severe injury. I actually fractured my heel. Now, when I went
you fractured
to hospital,
the actual calcaneus?
Yes, I did.
Right.
Now, I went to hospital that day. It wasn't diagnosed until 3 weeks later when I went back to my own doctor.
Yep.
So instead of being offered for 3 months, I was offered for 5.
Wow.
Since then, I started walking into a walking frame and whatever. Now I'm walking unaided.
Yeah.
But I got work covered to also approve a gym course for me. So I'm doing physio 2 times a week, gym at least 2x a week.
Mm.
But certain machines I've had to give away because they irritate the heel and my foot. So I said I have to go back to square one.
Yeah.
Any idea on this particular injury and how long it actually takes to get over it?
Well, this is an obvious thing to say, but anything where you're not weight-bearing is going to be better. But so any kind of hydrotherapy, pool stuff where you can do... There's a thing that I've done a few times, John, which is just horrible but really good for you. It's called deep water running.
Yeah.
Give that baby a little spin. You put on a vest and do some running in the water. It's absolutely crap as an experience, but it's very good for you and there's no impact, obviously, on... Well, there's minimal
I'm doing pool work as well as a gym at Windy Hill Fitness, which is fairly good. But we sort of, even with the exercise my physio gives me, we get to a certain point, the actually Achilles starts to act up and we've got to go back to square one.
Yeah, but I think you've also got to remember, John, too, it's going to be very individual, those sort of recoveries, based on someone's age and also what your bone density is like. You know, those things certainly play a part, so we need to consider that. So it's very hard to give you how long this will take.
Mm. And also, why your Achilles plays up is because your Achilles attaches into the back of your calcaneus or calcaneus, however you want to pronounce it. But look, you sound like you're on the right track, John, so just keep doing what you're doing. Keep the intensity lowish when you're doing anything weight-bearing and high-ish if you can when you're doing other stuff. Pool stuff's good, upper body stuff's good. And one way, and this I say this for other people as well. So for you people who go, look, I don't mind lifting weights, but I hate cardio. A really nice hack, if you like, is to do your weight training with very little rest between sets. So then you get an aerobic benefit as well. So, you know, instead of doing a set of whatever and then sitting around for a minute or two and then doing another set, work opposing muscle groups. So if, for example, you were going to do a bicep curl, then you would straight away go do maybe a tricep pushdown. Or if you're going to do a leg extension, you might go do a leg curl. If you're going to do a back extension, you might do a sit-up. So, but what that means is you can work opposing muscle groups. So when I'm working my biceps, my triceps are recovering and vice versa. But because I'm working constantly, as well as getting the strength benefits and building muscular endurance, I'm also getting an aerobic benefit because I'm keeping my heart rate up, Jackie, louder.
Yes, I was just reading a couple of the SMSs. John, I'm at 116 kilos. Is it unrealistic to try and lose that between now and the new year? That would be a yes. 2 months to lose 16 kilos.
Well, look, John, you could.
Not might in a healthy way.
Might involve a chainsaw. No, look, the answer is yes, you could. And Jackie is right, not in a healthy way.
Yeah.
It's the you know, people go, oh, you need to lose, the most you should lose is a kilo a week. That's actually not great science because that depends on your starting body weight. If your starting body weight is 75 kilos and you're a 5'1" female, right, saying 1 kilo is the same to a guy who weighs 150. Yeah. It's a silly metric. So what we want to work on is about 1% of your body weight. But also remember that to actually lose a kilogram of fat, we're not talking about just dropping some fluid or just dropping weight. Don't confuse weight with body composition. So, you know, look, it's realistic that you might lose 8 or 9 quality kilos of fat in that time frame. But you definitely
not 16.
You're not going to lose 16 kilos of fat. You might. You can drop the weight, but that weight will come back on because what we know when we lose weight quickly, when we lose weight quickly, what we're losing in this order is we're losing water, muscle and fat when we lose it quickly, and when we regain it water, fat, muscle.
Yep.
Jackie, it's been good.
Quick show. Have a good week.
It's been a quick show. It's been one of those where we fell into a time vortex and our 1 hour show took 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Coming up after 11 o'clock, First Serve, BP, Paul Aitken and Sean Manawira. And between noon and 6 p.m, BP driving the ship. That is the Sports Central, the Sunday Sports Central ship. Enjoy, folks. Enjoy your week, folks. Thanks, Jackie. Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, other Jackie. We'll be back next week.